The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
Okay, it is the... Is this the first edition of 2026 of the Two Man Game Podcast, Coach?
Without a doubt,
Steve Smiley? I don't know, my dates are messed up now.
Yeah, I don't know what our overall number is, but I do know that this is the first podcast of 2026.
We moved it around because we were recording these on Thursdays.
That's right.
Now, obviously, that we've jumped into Big Sky Conference play, you guys play on Thursdays and Saturdays, so we do this on Tuesdays now.
That's right. Especially on the road, you know, this is good stuff to start off with. On the road, you're going to leave on a Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
And so Wednesday through Sunday, I mean, we go back to this Montana swing that we'll talk about, I'm sure. And we'll leave at 6 a.m., 8 a.m., whatever it is on a Wednesday to travel to get to our first opponent and then travel between opponents. And you know, you fly commercial. We don't do any of that charter stuff. And then you come back on Sunday. And sometimes it's like you might not get back till 2 or 3 in the afternoon on a Sunday, which is – tough because you lose your whole day, but at least maybe you get a little sleep on Saturday night, or like what we did against Montana. And it's all predicated on when the flights are out.
Mm-hmm.
So in Missoula, it was a 6 a.m. flight or a 6 p.m. flight. So we took the 6 a.m. flight to get out and kind of get our Sundays. But from a rest perspective, just a debacle. You get up at 3:45 in the morning, and it's hard, man. It is what it is, but it's hard.
That's tough, obviously, on anybody, but you know, you talk college basketball players, like you know, you're grinding, you're tired, and getting up early and getting around.
Not ideal. Travel schedule.
And you know, we talk about that a lot. You've opened up a lot with us on that, and I don't think people think about the travel schedule and just how much that means sometimes.
I have no idea. No idea. Obviously. In the biggest levels, you charter everything. It's like, well, is it that big of a deal? It is, because you get back to your bed on the same night. You know, we played a game against Montana at 4 o'clock. We're done at 6.
Mm-hmm.
And so to think about it, from 6 o'clock onwards, you don't get back till 10, 11 a.m. the next day, even with that early flight. You know, and the charter, and that's just, it'll never be like that. In our situation, that's just not what we have in the budget, right? Like, those things are expensive. You know, if you're in the power levels, you get done at 6. Literally, you shower up in the arena, and you roll onto that. You know, bus takes you right to the plane. You're back home at 8 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, 8 o'clock. You're Saturday night. You know, and so as opposed to getting back, and that's just the reality. But from a wear and tear standpoint, it's something you got to be very careful with your guys. You know, you start to really reduce the Mondays. Especially if you're on the road. You know, we had to do a little bit because we're obviously struggling a little bit, and we got to get better. We got to figure a couple things out. So we did a little bit on Monday, recovery, a little bit of practice, nothing crazy, but you got to be careful about how much you do it when you're on the road, because it's a real thing, wear and tear wise.
It's funny, because just listening to you over this past year or so, when we talk about the travel schedule, I'm always reminded of, like, on the NBA side when they had the bubble.
Oh yeah.
And you know, a lot of people say that wasn't a real championship, you know, that was there's an asterisk there. Well, you eliminate one of the big things, and that's travel.
Travel.
You're playing on a neutral court,
yep.
Not fans, whatever, but travel, that is a significant deal. That's why when you hear people talking about, oh, we got this big road swing going on, whatever, it is a big deal, because your schedule's way off to hit some of these flights, whatever. You got to be up different times. It does change, and that's why I think, you know, this Montana trip probably, Coach, couldn't have come at the worst time, because this is a weird time of year. You're transitioning from non-con to conference play. It's over the holiday swing here, and I know these guys are D1 athletes. They're focused, their mind's on the prize, but we can't argue that is a strange time of year in all of basketball. Everybody would kind of say that.
Yeah, it's hard, no matter what. Now, again, you know, you play your first two games at home. And there's no students here. And again, it's a weird time, and people are still kind of focused on, you know, college football bowl season and this mm-hmm. and that. And you know, maybe you don't have a great crowd. And you know what I mean? Like, it's still kind of the holiday season. It can backfire that way too. You could drop a couple home games because you don't have your right environment. You don't have anybody there. That can be, you know, problematic. We looked at it like, hey, you know, the good side is you go to these places, which they get real crowds. And Montana State still had a tremendous crowd, but no students. So it's like, you know, you're going to be at a place where they don't have at least the students. And so that's a blessing, right? And so you're going to have to play no matter how you look at this stuff. What I love about our league is 18 league games. You play everyone at home, everyone on the road. So you get 9 home, you get 9 road. They're not the unbalanced schedules where you only play this team once or twice where you have like 15 teams in the league. You're playing everyone twice. So it's equal that way. And so, getting into the game, like we just didn't play good enough. You know, we had moments, we had stretches, but for whatever reason, we didn't play good enough. And those are two very good teams. They know who they are. Very good coaching staffs.
Yeah.
They're going to scout you. Montana State, I think now this is Coach Logie's maybe third year or whatever it is, and he kind of knows how he wants to run things. And Coach DeCure is the winningest coach in the history of our league. And you're going to get the bullseye in the back, too. You're going to get all this love and publicity, not only because of CU, but recency bias because of CU game. But then, too, 10 wins, only team in the league with 10 wins, ranked in all these polls, you're getting everyone's best shot. And we did. I mean, we got both teams' best shot, and we didn't play anywhere near our best, and you're gonna lose.
How much of that – you talk to me about this, because I always bring the cliche stuff to you that sports guys say. And I always like to get your thoughts on what is real. Because, again, it's the Montana trip. It's over the holidays, strange time. You just come up with a monster win over CU, the first time in 89 years UNC beat CU. It's obviously a statewide story, but I think there was a lot of national. We talked about that last week. A lot of national people are like, this Bears team, okay, what's going on? Because Tad Boyle's very well respected.
Yep.
And then you go in and knock them off in on their home floor. How much of a fear of a letdown? Now, again, it's Montana and Montana State. These are both football and basketball. They're classes of the sport. But you mix all those things together. How much of the mental struggle was this road trip?
Well, you look at like CU. I mean, and then they go on the road and win Arizona State. This CU team's good.
Yes, yeah.
And it's funny how just over a week ago after you beat CU, you think you're on the highs of the highs of the highs, and it's you are like if you take a little bit of a second to reflect, and this is pretty special, right? But like then the next day you're already onto the Montana State Scouts, so it's fun, but it's not like euphoria. And then when you fast forward to you're 0-2 in league, and it's like from a coach, it's demoralized. You know that flight home Sunday morning. I mean, I hate to say this, I didn't get 1 minute of sleep. Mm. I'd be lying if I said I did. I was laying in my bed at 10:30. Because I knew I had to get up at 3:30, and it's like, so I'd cut the film that we needed to cut to start it off. It's like, got to shut this down. And but just laid there. It's terrible. So it's like the losses hurt way more than the wins.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so weird. It shouldn't be that way. But like going back to your question, Brady, that, no letdown. If we had a young team and this was a shocking game, the CU game, you got to worry about that. I didn't worry about that because, again, we're fully healthy and I do believe our older guys aren't going to let us have a letdown. We had great preparation. I mean, we were locked in, so it's not that. But what I do think, too, is because we didn't play very well, I think you start to take winning for granted. 10-3, but at the same point in time, two of those three losses were when we were not fully healthy. And then the one loss, St. Thomas, we had the game won, mm-hmm. and they're really good. We had it won, and we gave up a miracle shot. So I do think at some point in time you take winning for granted. And you can start, with me with that, where you're like, man, if we're fully healthy, it's going to be hard to beat us. And then we show up, and like I said, the preparation was great. The I thought the focus was great, but we got punked. I mean, we just, from the opening tip, they played harder. They played with more detail. And that was our challenge after we got beat by Montana State. We need more detail, which we usually have great detail, but we didn't. Scout mistakes went up. And it's younger guys, but older guys, everyone. We need more detail. They outcoached us. Their plan to remove Brock from the game with doubling him and this and that, and it got him sped up. It's a great strategy, right? And then we need some more detail. We need more winning plays. And we do all of our little analytical stuff afterwards, and win or lose, we're going to grade it out, and we grade it out terribly, terribly. It doesn't matter if you win or lose. And then against Montana, we got beat again, but we played a lot harder. It felt more like the Bears, and we got this massive hole that we got into. We're getting the right shots. We just couldn't make them. But when we graded that one out, the grading was much better. So it's, again, like don't let the scoreboard fool you. But we just got to play better.
In that Montana game, obviously this was one I'd kind of circled for a while because you got Money Williams on the Montana side of things. And then, of course, I think Brock, Quinn, whatever, but Quinn certainly has risen up to those Big Sky Conference of the Year, Player of the Year conversations. So I circled this one because it's like, there's two guys right there that are right there in the running for this. So I was really looking forward to that matchup. They get up to a pretty quick start early on.
They're rolling. 8-0, 30-10.
Yes. But you guys battle back, and then you make a big run in that second half.
Yep.
It pretty much kind of evens out in that second half. But you fought back. How difficult, though, on the road, coming off of a loss against Montana State, you look up at the scoreboard, it's 8-0, and then it's 30-10. Yeah, it's a big hole.
It's really hard, especially like after Montana State, even though there was plenty of truth-telling. It was also like, hey, we just got to play better. And, kind of digesting that film on Friday morning before we got the bus, and you drive, about 4 hours over Two Mountain Pass. It's a beautiful drive. But we're like, when we get off this bus, like, we got to be focused into the, Montana State, let's just learn, right? And let's move on. And again, the attention to detail was great. The focus was great. And that's what was so demoralizing is that we were in a good state mentally going into Montana. We were not a broken team. And 8-0, a couple little mistakes here and there, and they got to those mistakes, and we just kept missing shots and missing shots, and that happens. But they played it's just crazy how well they played. Them going into the break, they got beat by an NAIA team, which was a good team, Montana Tech. They got cracked by Louisville. I thought they played better against NAU, but I thought they played great. Like, that team, it's just like, that's a team that's really, really good, and they haven't shown that as much recently. So it goes back to, like, you're going to get everyone's best shot. And, for us, maybe now people think we're dead in the dust at this 0-2 start, and it can reel back, the hyper focus on us. But at the same point, it's not about that. It's about we just have to play better. We have to raise our level up. This league's good. There are multiple teams, all the teams, but there are multiple teams that could go anywhere from like 1-6, 1-7. And right now, obviously, we're in a little bit of a hole. Not many teams are going to win those games in the Montanas. Somebody will sneak one or two out, but not many will. So it's not the end of the world, but like, we got to get better quickly. It's a Tuesday morning so that we're playing better before we have a massive challenge against a really good Idaho State team on Thursday.
Coach, just going in kind of to specific player stuff here. With Ringneary, what did you kind of see in these two games, especially that Montana game? Because obviously only played a few minutes, but he was, seemed healthy and everything.
Yeah, he's good.
One of those games where, one of those trips maybe.
Yeah.
Young player just not really clicking for
him. No, I mean, he's such a vital part of what we do and in our ceiling, right? Like, for us to get to the maximum level, we need him playing great. And he's not playing bad. But at the end of the day, we get down 30-10, things can get wonky real quick. And it's like, all right, we got to get some shit. And what they're doing is teams are, and not just with the ring, but a lot of our guys, if they're not statistically shooting it well, they're just not guarding them. And they're saying all the stuff that we run, like, we're gonna put two on the ball on Quinn and not have to help out as much on a Brock or whatever it is. And, it starts with me. I've got to do a better job putting him in space where he understands, okay, if they're not guarding you, okay, one, got to keep shooting with confidence. We want our guys to let it fly. And he had a couple great looks early on. They just didn't go in. So him not playing, more than, 5 or 6 minutes or whatever it was, that's more on me in the sense of saying, okay, we're down so much, we're going to have to find a way to get our offense humming a little bit. And there's going to be a downside to our defense in theory. So, no, it's I tell you, like, in the second half, like, I should have played him more. But we started to get on that run.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens sometimes. I remember one year we played Portland State at home. And it was a year where we had DeJure Reeves, and he came off the bench. He was a great player, right? And I think it was into the first half, we're down 9. And we start to make a little run. We get like down to 3 or whatever it is. And then we start the second half, and we go on, like, I don't know if you remember this, it was like a 33-0 run with the starters.
Yeah.
And so the guys off the bench, including DeJure Reeves, who was an all-league player, just sat there and sat there and sat there and sat there. And it was like, why didn't you put DeJure? And it's like, had nothing to do with DeJure. We just went on a heater. Well, this is a different thing in the sense, like, nothing to do with Ring. Ring's going to play a ton of minutes every game, from here forward. But we needed to find a way to score better and just loosen things up. And it happened. This copycat league. Montana State had a great plan. They were doubling Brock. They were, not guarding our driver guys. And we struggled offensively. And then Montana kind of took a similar plan. And there wasn't enough time to figure out, like, how do we solve this? So that's where, like, the scramble mode for us, right now, yesterday in practice, today in practice, it's not about, like, Idaho State prep yet. It's about, we've got to figure out when teams don't do this. And they did the same thing to Langston, Connor Creech, guys like that. Langston got to a point in time where, hey, we could – he was so good, give him the ball and dribble down, post up, whatever it is. Langston understood how to – if they're not going to guard me, I'm going to start screening guys, right? He understood that this concept of missling. Ring's getting really close to understand that. Like, he's getting better and better and better at it. But what we can do if guys aren't just, you know, guarding us is just stand out there and just take that open three. Yes, you got to take it when you're open, but we have to continue to find ways to diversify our game. And like I said, I'll take all the blame on that we haven't gotten to the point in time yet – learning how we can do different things to manipulate how they're guarding us, right? It's a check. You make this move, we can make this move. And so with Ring, it's we've got to get him learning, okay, I could do this, and this, right? Because we need him. And again, it's only we got to halftime where we were down 20, but we cut it to 9 at half. Just playing smaller, yeah. Playing a bunch. We had an 11-point surge. And then for me, it's like, hey, we got to just stay with shooting. Let's move Egan to the starting lineup. Let's remove Road James, whatever it is. And so, yeah, at the end of the day, like with Ring, he's a good shooter. They're not going in at a crazy clip. Now, he banged one against CU. And I'm trying to think back. I think he hit one against Denver or Montana State. So he's hitting some shots. And so that's the easiest way to solve the problem. But two, we don't want it to turn into where guys are going and his shot distribution, his pie chart is just shooting threes because he's so much more than that, right? So we got to figure it out. But like anytime you have a failure like that, that's on me. Like that's not on the player. So he was a great teammate, understood it, and he'll be ready to go. But like we need him to get to the high ceiling that we can get to, and he'll be a big piece of that.
Coach, when you talk about like Ringnier specifically, when, hey, you know, he's so much more than just shooting threes, but when you're open, take those.
You got to take them.
That kind of sounds like it's almost a double-edged sword, too.
Because
if you're wide open, you got to take them. But if you're not sinking them, do you want guys suddenly stepping in, trying to drive, even though they're wide
the
open?
Well, the problem is that when you start stepping in, it compromises spacing.
Sure, yeah.
This is a spacing game. And so, yeah, like he took four shots, and I do all the shot quality. And we had a teammate yesterday. I said, how many bad shots did I give you? He said, none. I said, they're all good, right? So, yeah, keep shooting them. I'm not saying any of those bad shots. But we have to, as a team, find a way to remove those. There's ways to do it to manipulate the space, and we just haven't gotten there yet. Like, think about Langston. You know, Langston should have been the player of the year last year. I believe that.
100%.
But if guys aren't guarding him, and Langston, he'd gotten to the point in time where he understood how to drive the nose split. He understood how to post up the nose split. But if you think about it, if Langston got 10 shots in a game, and they aren't guarding him, so they're not guarding you, so you take eight threes and two twos. He can make some of those threes. He got to the point in time shooting like 35% from three. But is that the best version of Langston, where he's taking eight threes and two twos? Obviously no, right? And so we've got to find a way to continue to get the shot chart for individual players correct so that it's not just – it's so much pressure, too, when they're not guarding. Say, you got to make this three or they're not going to keep guarding. Like, we got to find ways to move pieces around a little bit. And that's where you know, I failed us this weekend, and they scattered us out, and we were not able to put our guys in the right positions to manipulate that. We can get that done, but we just didn't get it done.
That is fascinating to just kind of hear you talk about that because you have an open player. Obviously, you know, people sitting on the couch go, make shots. They'll cover you more. Things will change. But outside of that, what do you do to change? Because like you said, you're wide open. You can't start stepping in. You can't do that kind of thing because that's going to mess up the space.
The whole thing, it matters to like what's all five guys on the court. Because a guy like Brock has grown into now he's shooting almost 40. He's over 40% from three.
Yeah.
So we can manipulate space now where we can put – you want to double Brock, we'll put him out there. Maybe flash Ring into the post. We did one for Ibu. The play was for Ring, but Ibu was in. So, okay, now we're going to post or move both bigs out. Ibu is in the left corner, which is where Ring usually is too. And we're running all this horns action, and now we got a little hitter where we used to run for Langston too and just flash because Money was guarding him. Money didn't want to foul, so flash him in, and we got him. We got a layup. So there are little things, and yesterday in practice, little sets, actions we can run for this thing. But then, too, it can't just be about – we got to learn how to move around when it's not about a set and an action. So we'll get better at it. But and certainly that was just one little micro game we lost. You know, Brock getting doubled and us kind of failing that. That was a micro game we lost. Us taking, like I said, Ring, I think, had four shots. They were all good shots. We took our top player scoring wise, Quinn's Brock's X. I had him down for 10 bad shots. just that group, and we were 0 for 10 on bad shots. So it's never like one guy or this or that, but like systematically it's like, oh man, Montana State rolled the dice on it. And even going back to last year, I'm watching our Idaho State game last year is in preparation for Thursday. They didn't guard Langston, and Langston banged two threes at their place. That game came down to the wire, but they played off and Langston knocked it. So that's part of it too. You got to be able to knock these things down. But I think Ring's a really good shooter, so I don't want to discourage him at all from not taking the shots. But if guys aren't going to guard you, what else can we do to diversify the thing and to say, okay, we and then you got to live and die on the hill just jacking up threes, because like there's more to that. We can diversify. It's like a stock portfolio, right? Hey, man, stocks are up. Bitcoin's up. But you know what else is up? Gold and silver, right? So how do you diversify? And then stock market's starting to get a little bit nutty. Do you pull some of that out and put it back into, you know, cash and savings and bonds? And like how do you – we're trying to diversify our portfolios here a little bit too, so it doesn't have to all be about just jacking up threes.
Is there a thought to – you mentioned Egan Shields and starting at the half too. I've asked you this before, you know, as far as the thought process of starting both of those guys. And then sometimes guys need that little change up where they're coming off the bench or whatever. But I guess the problem with that is you got both your bigs in and then
it's possible
kind of run out of gas.
Well, we're looking
at
all things, and we've lost four of our last five games. Like that's just a fact. And you say, well, you know, it's Texas Tech and then DU, and you got all these guys injured, and then look at that CU, and it's great, and then these two Montana. So like you could play the devil's advocate either way, saying what a brutal stretch and injured and road games, and we're 10-5. We've only played five home games this year. So the sky is not falling, but recency of, okay, our team's starting to figure out some of our stuff. That the best analytical lineup that we have is Brock 4, Egan 5. It's not even close. So how do you get that lineup out there a little bit more? Yeah, that's a possibility. But the thing we're also looking at, because you got to play devil's advocate, I got a great stat that always – because I brought that up yesterday. The question is they're both going to gas out at the same time. All right, so then what do you do, right? Because, you know, when guys get tired, you don't get the best version. At least, you know, the way we've been doing it is Egan can come in, whoever he comes in for, Brock or Ibu or Ring or whatever it is, you got a fresh Egan. So that's something. But at the same point in time, we haven't started very well in our last few games, at least our last two games. Is that just a small sample size or is that a trend? And then, two, it's like, okay, you look at all this stuff you got to find a way in 40 minutes to look at it. Do the right guys have the right minutes? And so we're looking at all that stuff, Brady.
I think that part
it's
of
hard.
It, that it's such a – there's so many things that goes into being a head coach.
Yeah.
But, man, just figuring out the minutes, knowing your guys so well that you know when they're going to gas out too is fascinating. So, obviously, that would present somewhat of an issue to try to solve.
Well, we're looking at too, like, you know, the Quinn Brock, Zach, you know, who so much load and usage and stuff, and they didn't play as good this week, and they all know it, so it's not like any shocking news. But a conversation for them that we're having too is, are we playing you too many minutes? You know, and they all average about 32 minutes a game on the season if you look at the big box score, but that also factors in some of those non-1 games where we could play in like 15, 18 minutes. That drags that number down. The reality situation is, right now, I get those guys pushing 35 to 37 minutes. In a single one-off game, not a huge deal. CU, Quinn, not a huge deal. However, can you win three games in 3 days doing that? Like, we got to the championship with the six pros, Matt, Dalen, Dalton, Bodie, Drew, Cookshausen, Kurjan, Cooch, playing 98% of the minutes. Is that why we lost in the championship? Because we just didn't play as good against that Montana State team? I don't know, right? You look at Portland State, who's 2-0, 2-2, and they could be 0-2. They won two overtime games. Their point guard, Jalen Henderson, he's a really good player, he never comes out. It's 40 minutes. So, like, we're all having these conversations. How do you develop your bench? Like, we got to have a bench that's productive. So, like, every coach is trying to just solve their teams. Like, and that's been the big focus yesterday, today, Sunday, as I'm sleep-deprived trying to figure it out. It's like, I'm really not worried about Idaho State. I'll be there in time in terms of, like, the scout's got to be right and this and that. Coach Reed's, you know, he's chomping at the bit. But I'm like, we got to worry about us. How do we opt, like, in any business, in any team, anything you do, and, you know, in KFKA, how do you optimize? How do you find these little tweaks? Because our league is too good. The margins are too thin to not be optimal. How do we optimize ourselves? And that's been more of the conversation right now.
And
simplicity. Simplicity. When you start feeling like the sky's falling, we don't need to add a bunch of stuff. We don't need to
junk
this. Simplify. And I told the guys, how do you rebuild a house? you kind of blow it up to the foundation. Yes. Now we're not blowing up the house, but we're stripping things down to the foundation. The foundation's good enough. You know, maybe we've gotten a little too cute with some of our schemes and this and that, worrying too much about that in our practices. We haven't had a practice that hasn't had a scout in it, because when we got back, we had 2 days before CU, we're right to the scout. Everything's been about the scout. So, okay, maybe now, and we had a great practice yesterday, just we're not talking about Idaho State. We're not going to talk about them today for the first part. We're gonna do some live stuff, blue versus white, no scout. And so that we can get a little bit more into just playing, right? Just playing free. I feel like we're just stressed out a little bit as a team. And expectations are part of that. Hype's part of that. The bullseye's part of that. The ranking's part of that. Hey, the more you win, the brighter that light gets on you. And that's great. We want to be in that. But at the same point in time, it can stress you out a little bit.
It's amazing to me in a basketball season just how quickly things can change. Mm-hmm. You know, you go from, you know, a pretty significant high after beating CU, and then knowing, I mean, we talked about this on the podcast last week, knowing this trip was going to be brutal, because it is.
It is.
But unfortunately, turned out 0-2.
I got a good one for you.
Yes, go.
Okay, so go back to last, I'll give you two from last year. We're down 20 at Montana State. We were awesome. We won 25 games.
Yeah.
Same game. We're down 20 in the second half. And we come back, and Marcel had that huge run and the whole thing. But, like, we're down 20 in the second half. Probably should have won that game, but we won it. That's how fragile this thing is. Then we go to Montana. It's the same flow. We go to Montana. This is what I want to really get to. We beat them by 40, and we pulled guys out. Like, the whole team played. We beat them by 40, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's early in the season, early in the big side, just like this. So we have a great year. Go to Montana. Think about this. They never lose at home. And we haven't lost there. Like, we're the only team that can beat them there. I don't know why. But we beat them when St. Thomas had that crazy game. Yeah. We've beat them there a lot.
A lot. Broadcasters even noted that a few times.
It's weird. But they never lose there outside of us, you know, being able to kind of solve some things. Okay, so they never lose there. You play the Bears. We were both like 2-0 or 3-0 at the time. And so it was kind of a big early season game. We beat them by 30. So now they're sitting in their locker room with Coach DeCuir. Think about this. That team at that point got beat by 30 at home.
Hmm.
That team went dancing. That's the team that went dancing, right? So, like, you can't – we have a good team. You can't panic. But then the other thing, too, and I'm sure, guys, Sam Presti, right? Who's he? Do you know who he is?
No.
OKC no. Thunder, right? He's the OKC Thunder GM. He's the best GM in the NBA. He's the guy that's masterminded everything. And in the NBA circles, I mean, he's considered to be, like, probably the smartest guy in the NBA. I got this little clip, this little Twitter clip I'll show our guys before. He talks about in the NBA season, there are two times a year where the sky is falling. And it might feel like it's falling for a couple of weeks. It might feel like it's falling for a month, even with those guys. Why was he talking about that? They just lost two in a row.
Yeah.
They just lost at home to Charlotte.
Yeah, when you don't lose often, you lose two in a row, then
they're
especially
30-7.
Yeah.
But weren't they like 25-1?
Nobody could stop them. Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, they're breaking a record. They're winning 74 games, right? Now they're not breaking. They're 30, but they're still the best team. But it feels like this guy, oh my gosh, we just lost to LaMelo. What's going on with the team? Mm-hmm. They're down 16.5 at home to Charlotte, right? All these teams are good, first of all. But, like, this is a historically great team. So I got this little clip of Sam Presti talking about afterwards that, hey, the sky falls a couple times a year. And how do you get out? And he just talks about something like strategic competitiveness. And that's our thing. We got to compete, man. We got to get out and compete. We got to, you know, again, strip it down to the basics. We don't need to add this scheme. Like, we just got to compete, and we've always competed. And so I'm not worried about that, but it's going to take a monumental competitive effort to win on Thursday, because these guys are good. So it's just about basics, simplicity, competing.
Yeah, Idaho State, they're certainly an interesting team. I've had a chance to watch a few of their games, actually. And I believe it was the I think I watched some of the Portland State game, but back against San Diego State, who's a very good Mountain West Conference team. You know, score was 73-57, but that
was
game
right there.
Right there. So that's a team that can. There's a lot of teams in the Big Sky you could probably say that about, though.
Well, they blew out Sac State first game, and then hey, they were up 17 in the second half Saturday night against Portland State.
Yeah.
They're up 9 with 1:40 left, in a crater. They missed a bunch of free throws, but like they're as good as any team in the league. And so, again, it's not like, okay, and that's the trap of, okay, we're home, everything's good. No. That doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's the biggest thing is like, hey, we just got to get better. We got to, you know, stay simple, and we got to compete a little bit.
Coach, just one more thing on the Montana side of it too. we always discuss this like on football. With football for UNC, it doesn't really feel like they have a rivalry because, you know, they haven't been successful and sure. It's hard to develop those. Is it pretty easy to say that Montana's the big rivalry for you guys?
Like, I think so, and I think I take that as a compliment. Yeah, we've been very competitive with them. We've both been floating around the top of the league, and it hasn't just been us two, but it's kind of been us two, certainly for the last several years. And they've been the standard. And, you know, obviously Weber State hasn't been as good recently, but back in the day, right, it was like Weber, Montana, everybody else. And, you know, we've at least been able to find our way into that conversation. In the recency bias of last year, both teams were awesome, and we were both 15-3. And by the way, I don't think anyone's going 15-3 I think our league's too balanced, too good.
Yeah,
but both teams were there, and we got to the championship. So, like, I do think that, like, as I look at it, like, yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of the teams where it's like, hey, this is going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be a battle. And that's where I don't think our guys took any of this stuff lightly. We just got outplayed. We just got beat both games.
Well, I'm looking forward to this one on Thursday. We already talked about it, so I'm just going to say it. 99 wins, Coach.
Yeah, well, you know.
Is that part of why you can't sleep?
No, I mean, like, it'll be nice to get to 100 because I know people in, you know, our marketing teams.
Yeah.
But, like, I want to get to 100 ASAP so we get off the snide and we get a win in the conference and get this team moving in the right direction. Like, you know, all this stuff fades. Like, all that 100. And it's cool, and it's another moment. Like, I still remember the first game. I only have one game ball, but my first win was win number one is against Colorado Christian. I still got that thing, right? Like, you know, that Darren said, hey, you know, congrats on the first win. Here's this game ball. And it's cool. So, like, it felt like that was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, this thing goes so quick. So, but again, it's like we tell guys, if it's about like your records and winning, losing, if that's what you care about, you'll never win enough, right? To satisfy yourself. So, it'll be nice to get it over with to move on. But at the same point in time, we need to get it done ASAP so that we get back in the race. Like, that's the thing.
It's pretty significant, though. It's, you know, for people like me,
sure,
those are things we like to latch on to. And again, pretty much every season has been really fun and been so much success over it. And so when you look at that, maybe it's not the number, but also tells the story of just what these last, 5 years have meant to the fans of the UNC Bears.
And it just goes back to, like, you know, it's certainly not about me. I mean, it's having the staff, it's having great players. You know what I mean? It's having a great staff and it's having great players. Coaches can lose games, but they don't necessarily win games. Players play and players win games. And then coaches, our job is to put them in the right position. And then, too, like, at this level, there's so many things that can that need your attention to take time. So it's all about the staff. And we've had this huge continuity and we've all gotten better. And so it's really, whenever this happens, it's a team accomplishment. You know, it's a team thing. And so I'm excited for that. And anything that we can do to get excitement, like, you know, the excitement after that CU game, and it's real. We get down to the Denver markets. Those guys are coming up here doing stories on the Bears. Like,
it does matter.
Like, there's no doubt about it. So anything that we can do to get people engaged, excited, pumped up, getting to the gym, watching our guys play. Our guys got a good team. Like, so it'll be nice. But at the same point in time, whenever it happens, that next game's coming at you right away. So you can't stop and smell the roses much right now, for sure.
Idaho State this Thursday, 6 o'clock. Folks, get out to uncbears.com. Check out ticket opportunities there. I know we're going to be giving some stuff away here on the next couple of days on the whole show, too. So I'm excited about that.
That's what it is. So
All right, my friend. Good luck to you on Thursday.
Sounds good.
And we'll catch up with you next week.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks. Yep.
The Two-Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy Ryan Hicks and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game, so how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!